Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my guest today is Katie Joseph. Katie is the assistant superintendent at Regional School Unit 1, and that is in Bath, Maine. Katie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit, Katie, about you, your role, and what's going on at your school.
Sure. So as the assistant superintendent in Bath, Maine, I oversee just under 1,800 students. We have seven schools, of which there are four elementaries, two middle schools, one high school, and one vocational school that are all wrapped together for various towns in the area of Bath, Maine. And so in this role, I'm in charge of overseeing the general well-being and academics of all of our students and staff included. And so the topic that we're going to talk about today regarding cell phones, screen time, social media, all came about in our district post-COVID when we were looking for ways to increase the well-being of our students.
And I looked at the information that you gave me, and it is impressive what you guys did. So can you expand on what you guys did and how that all came about, and what I know you used some of the COVID money. You told me a little bit about that. And
yeah.
Go ahead.
No. So this is the first year we've been phone and smartwatch free in our district. So much of this work happened over a year ago, where my administrators and I knew that our federal funding through COVID was running out. We had used a bunch of it to help with mental health in our district by hiring social workers, trying new programs and things such as that. And we were trying to figure out, okay, without these funds or with just a little bit of money left, is there anything else we can put in place that will help our students? And a lot of articles and research was coming out about the sort of impact of screen time, cell phone use, and social media on the teenage brain and how that was decreasing overall mental health, well-being, increasing anxiety and depression, and causing a lack of relationships being truly authentically created between people that age. And so as we did more and more research, we became more and more compelled to think about doing this in our district. So it involved a year-long process of the administrative team and myself working back and forth with the board, doing surveys of our community, of our teachers, of our students, working with law enforcement to make sure taking away cell phones was a safe option. We knew it would be good for increasing mental health, but wanted to make sure with school safety concerns that that wasn't going to be an issue. And over time, and with the use of the decision to purchase Yonder pouches, which are essentially magnetic pouches you would put your phone and smartwatch in so they can't be opened or used throughout the day, that's sort of how we came to the decision starting this year to be screen free with phones and smartwatches in our district. And so we spent $40,000 to get Yonder pouches for grades 6 through 12. And they have been doing this new system all year. And the impacts have been one of the most powerful things I've seen in my over 20 years of working in school districts.
So let's have you expand. What has the impact been?
Sure. You know, at first we were, the kids were not excited, to say the
no,
least.
I bet not. About I bet not. I can imagine.
When we surveyed the students in grades 9 through 12, they didn't feel like they were using their phones that often. They didn't feel like they were distracting. They didn't see why this is important. However, if you look at a lot of the research, the minimum amount of hours most students of the teenage age are on a phone in a day is 4. that's the minimum conservative number. Most are on their phones or a screen up to 8 hours, sometimes more in a day. And this is often happening during school, which obviously is a distraction. And also with social media, you know, there's a lot of connections that have been made through research that show the more time students are on social media, the more likely they are to become more anxious and depressed because of comparing themselves to other people, of seeing, life that isn't real life and thinking that they're doing something wrong or they're undeserving. And it really, or bullying, that's cyberbullying that's happened online. And so those really were the worries, but the students weren't able to recognize those. And so, however, I will say that since we've put this all into place, the impacts, which is what you asked in the beginning, have spread even as far as the students being able to say, this is not something I wanted in the beginning, but I'm so glad that I was forced to do this, because they've reported making more friends, better connecting with people, being more inclined to do their work in class and even at home, because they're understanding what's going on more because they're listening more in class.
Right.
We have fewer failures across our high school in terms of coursework than ever before, since cell phones became something students were able to have. And from the teacher perspective, they've actually have increased rates of happiness and well-being because they're not constantly battling the students all day long to focus, put your phone away. Things as little as fewer trips to the bathroom. Students can't connect quickly with a text and say, I'll meet you there in 5 minutes, and then hang out, you know, for time in the bathroom. We think there's likely less vaping happening in schools, again, because they're not meeting up. I could go on and on. I don't know if you have specific questions.
No, I'm just impressed by it. You know, I did watch, I know there was a news, you guys made the news.
Yes.
And then I watched what some of the students had said and how the impact at lunch,
yes.
You know, that part was really impressive to me that, you know, cause we're guilty of this. Even as adults, we're guilty of this. I had to institute at my home, and my husband we have a no phone Friday because we just want to, like, even though we're not, like, quote, going on a date, it's just, we end up sitting right next to each other on our phones and not talking. And yeah. You put that phone away, and all of a sudden, and definitely at dinner, you know, it's like you come to my house for dinner, there is no phone at the table.
Yes.
And, you know, it, because, and how many times are you out at a restaurant and you see the same thing? Everybody's sitting there, we're together, but we're not even interacting,
right,
because
right.
We're on our phones. And how, that's a tragedy to me.
It is.
Really is.
And that actually, walking by high school lunch before we did this was, to me, one of the more depressing moments of working in school. Thinking back to, you know, when I was in high school and there was no such thing as a cell phone,
yeah, no.
We were all talking. It was my favorite part of the day.
Wow.
And then
yeah,
it was silent in there, and they're all staring
wow.
in their phones, even though they're sitting together. And now you walk by and it is the good kind of raucous. Kids have mm-hmm. board games out, they're talking, they're laughing, and they're enjoying themselves. And I think one way we know it's also having an impact beyond the school day is two things. One, it's been reported to us by many of the students, because we have a lot of people who will come and visit our school now, will want to talk to a group of students. And the students, I've heard them share with visitors that when they're home now, they're much less likely to be on their phones all the time, because that cord of connection between needing it all the time has been broken. And so that is really great that it's impacting their home life as well. But at, you know, 2:05 when the bell rings, and they can open their pouches and have their phones out, you actually see them milling about, and there's only, they all can have their phones, but they're not all standing there staring, saying nothing anymore like they used to be. They're still talking, and I think they've been reinvigorated by the connections they didn't realize they could make. You know, when you walk by...
And that they were missing, right?
Yeah, when you walk by students in the hall, they're not staring down at their phones. They'll say hi to you and make eye contact, and that's teaching them, you know, a really small moment of an important lesson about human connection, and going to need to do that in the job workforce later on. And so it truly has had an impact in so many ways that were unexpected.
Yeah. And that's fantastic. That's fantastic for the kids, and it's fantastic for your school and their mental health for sure. Have you seen or what, I know you said you've had such an incredible, I stumbled upon this. I did not know all about what you were doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, we reached out for you, the podcast, and it wasn't even something that I was even aware of. So I was so impressed with what you guys have done and the impact that it's had. What has it, how has it, it's kind of like got, it sounds like it's kind of gotten a life of its own, like beyond your school. So can you address that a little bit?
So absolutely. So, I know, you know, in what you're going to post on your website is all of the resources I shared, but I also, the Anxious Generation book, which a lot of, by Jonathan Haidt, which a lot of people are reading, I would highly recommend it. Essentially goes through the history of how this has sort of taken over teenage brains and led to a mental health crisis, and offers a lot of ideas around what we can do to stop that from happening. And so I would say that between all the articles that came before, people starting to talk about this, and then that book coming out, and then our district in Maine, at least, just deciding to rip the Band-Aid off and be the first to do it, it's become something that's very much in the social conversation, at least in the state of Maine, and I think across the country, because of his book being so easy to read, so popular, so well-researched, whether you agree with its findings or not. Actually, right now, as we speak and record this, in the state of Maine, LD 1234 is a bill that's being discussed on the Committee for Education and Cultural Affairs about taking away access to cell phones in all schools across Maine as a school ban, potentially. I did write a letter of support for that, and I know there are a few people from our district who are testifying today, and so we'll see what happens across the state if this sticks. So I think it's very much a local conversation, but becoming more state and possibly more national. And it wouldn't be surprised if you hear a lot more about it as you do your podcast from other districts around the country.
Yeah, I have heard a lot of schools have gone, especially the high schools, have gone to no cell phones. Mike, have you experienced, I know you said early on you got some pushback from the students. Has there been any pushback from any other avenues that were unexpected, or any negatives that you've seen from this?
No problems we weren't able to solve. I think that, and rightly so, I'm a parent myself. Parents have grown accustomed to being able to easily connect with their students, and having to go back to having all calls go through the school was an adjustment. It's what school always was before about 10 years ago. And so it's just going back to how we've always done things. I think some people were uncomfortable with that at the beginning, but there's growing pains with any big change. And that hasn't really caused a problem so far once people became adjusted. I think the one thing I would urge schools to consider is we do have an exception for students who have medical devices that do require a cell phone for, I know we have a few students who have diabetes monitors on a phone or heart disease. That's the only exception we allow for the use of a phone. If a student, and we've had many of these are the trickiest situations that I would say, who require a cell phone for diagnosed anxiety. That is a situation where we have not allowed a phone, even with a doctor's note, because there's nothing that our one-to-one laptops can't achieve as a technological support that a phone cannot do. So if they need to connect with a parent throughout the day, and that's one of their you know, points of feeling safe and secure to stay throughout the day. They can email the parent. We can set up a G-chat with the parent. If they use it as a way to track their feelings, they can do that in a Google Doc rather than in their phone notes app. And so those have been the trickier conversations because teenagers and parents have gotten, rightfully so, attached to a system that works for combating anxiety. But all of those, there's nothing we haven't been able to solve with the use of a one-to-one laptop.
And you've only done this. This is your first year.
Yes. Yes.
Fantastic. It's just really, I'm so impressed with what you guys have done with you know, the positive that, you know, there's so many negatives that have come out of COVID and you hear all the negatives, but this is something that truly has been just an amazing use of your the funds that we knew that were going to run out. Right.
Yeah.
So that's impressive. How many kids actually forget their phones? Like they get, and they've got it in the pouch and I can just see them like leaving.
What's interesting is the lines to magnetize the Yonder pouches in the beginning of the year were much longer. Most kids at the high school level, if they drive, keep their phones locked in their car, don't even bring it in. Some leave it at home. I mean, they're, to be honest, it's just not even a part of what they consider needing at school. So we have all kids have to come through the doors and check in the morning. They get greeted by administration and they'll be like, it's in my car, left it at home. And we take their word for it because they know that the procedure is if they're seen with it, they go right down to the office. And, you know, there's a ladder of consequences we developed that we're very, very consistently sticking to, which is also in the materials I shared in case anyone cares to look at that. That has been working.
Fantastic. Can you give us like, cause I missed that part of it. Can you give us like, what are the tiers that you've done for non-compliance?
Sure. So essentially one thing we wanted to do was not have this fall as another conversation that needed to go to teachers. So as soon as anybody sees a phone, the student gets sent right downstairs and it's our principal, our dean of students and our assistant principal who deal with providing the consequence. So that's number one is the kids. And even though realize like, you know, recently a student took their phone. I was like, oh, I didn't even realize I had this out. And they said, go down to I'll go down to the office. They send themselves down because they know.
Oh, they send themselves.
I forgot my pouch at home. So essentially it's go down to the office the first time is, you know, a detention, then it moves quickly to suspension, and then eventually it's, you know, their phone stays in the office and they're not allowed to have it on them. You know, the whole idea of the liability of the Yonder pouch is the pouch is theirs from grade 6 through 12. Obviously, yes, we have replacements and sometimes they do get damaged or lost. And so we deal with those on a student by student basis, but it's their property. And so they put their phone in it, they keep it on them because that's, you know, it's their piece of personal equipment from home. And so having it in the office is not their preferred choice. And so that deters a lot of them from, you know, making a decision they shouldn't be making.
Right, right. And it doesn't take long for them to learn if you're consistent. It's like anything else. If you're consistent, you know, you're going to learn.
Yeah, exactly.
The consequences. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, it's impressive. And I'm grateful to see what you guys are doing and that to see that other people are adapting this and how incredibly impactful. These children are going to be so, their whole psyche and how they interact with the world is better because of what you guys have done. And that's so great.
Yeah, well, thank you. I mean, that's why we've been so open to being sort of a lab site to have many visitors or sharing all the information, just because I am still dumbfounded by truly how simple the decision was to make once you read the research, but what a great impact it has is mind-blowing on seeing the difference in the friendships that are made, the value and the mattering that students see in themselves that they weren't before when they were stuck inside their own heads and their phones. And so, you know, I've said before when I've talked to people, I've been working hard for a long time in education, and this was one of the easier decisions I ever made that had the greatest impact. There are things I've worked on for years that have not gone well. And this is worth any worry, talk call I had to have with a worried parent or at a school board meeting, right, just because the impact was within 2 weeks immediate. And it's rare to have a teenager who's so addicted to something come back and say, thank you. I mean, that truly is a gift.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes me want to tear up because that's amazing. That's really amazing. Well, Katie, thank you so much for your time. This has been such a great conversation. Where should people go if they want to learn a little bit more about you or the school? And if you could give us the title of that book and how to spell the author's name again, that would be fabulous.
Sure. So our website is www.rsu1.org. And my name is Katie Joseph. You can look me up there. And then the book right here is The Anxious Generation. And the author's last name is, I think it's pronounced Haidt, H-A-I-D-T, Jonathan Haidt.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, thank you so much again. We will definitely be sharing the research that you've done. Thank you for sharing it with us. And thank you for loving on your kids so amazingly well. It can tell, you know, it's just evident that you guys really care about your kids and it shows.
So we do. Well, thank you. And I hope more people choose to do this. Take care.